Hello, everybody. Well, thanks for joining us again. This is, gosh, the fourth one, I believe. And tonight we're going to talk about God's love, his unconditional love. And the specific name is Renew. Renew. Renew your ability to love unconditionally. So let us begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of love, the gift of love so manifested beautifully on the cross. It is a stumbling block for the Jews and the Gentiles alike. Nobody can understand how the cross, a sign of capital punishment, can actually be the ultimate sign of love. Why would the Catholic Church have crucifixes everywhere? When you walk in, you see a man hanging on a source, what was known at that time as the form of capital punishment. But yet we see the cross and we see love, perfect love. We ask you to transform our own hearts into hearts that can love as God loves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, unconditional love, renewing our own love within our families. That is a tall order. Oh, and by the way, we're in the car. We're celebrating our son's 15th birthday today, and he wanted to go race go-karts. So he's inside racing go-karts, and we're out in the truck recording our video and presenting to the family that has joined us this evening. That's somewhat love.
Can I start with a story?
Yes,
All right,
please
so I'm going
do.
to start with a story. So I grew up in a home where my parents were very involved in marriage encounter, and I remember very, very vividly that they had a banner on the wall that said, "Love is a decision." And so I grew up with this attitude that it didn't matter if you felt like loving or if you wanted to love, it was a decision. You chose to love no matter what. And so I grew up with that attitude that we work towards love even when we don't feel like it. And it was a choice. And I think, unconditional love is like that sometimes. Sometimes love is difficult. And so to remember that we are choosing to love even in the difficult times.
Yeah, so when I think about love in the world today, right? We see a lot of examples of love, a lot of definitions of love. In fact, there's a sign that we would see very often in the town we used to live in, and it said, "Love is love." And it's actually a political sign. I mean, how do you define love, or how do you just define any term with the same term? That makes no sense, right? We have to define love because our world defines love very differently. If you look in the English language, we have one word for it. In the Greek language, we have three different words for love. One describes, love kind of in general, like I love everybody, right? Another one is romantic love, and then the other one is brotherly love. And yet in the English language, we have one word for love. And so people misuse it often, right? They say, "I love pizza." Now, we love pizza, but you don't love pizza when you've had 10 pieces of pizza, when you're full. You don't love pizza anymore. Or name whatever food it is. I love ice cream. But when you've had your 10th cup of ice cream, you don't love ice cream because you only love ice cream when you need ice cream, when you're hungry for ice cream, when it makes you feel good. But that's the type of love that people are espousing for each other today in the secular world. They look at, I say, "I love you." And what they're really saying is, "I love you for how you make me feel. I love you for what you have done for me lately," right? There's songs about this, right? What have you done for me lately? And so love needs to be defined. And it gets defined within our families. When we have children and we raise them in the faith, it doesn't matter if we raise them in the faith or not, anyone that has children is forming those children to understand love, because that is where children first encounter love, is in the family. And if they have a poor example of that, like, I love you because you made good grades, I love you because whatever it may be, I love you because you made your bed this morning. We have to make sure that we are guarding the definition of love, that they're revealing love within our family, and that other people notice it, because we're communicating authentic love. So we have to know what love is. And one of my favorite authors, he said, love is given freely, completely, faithfully, and fruitfully. Right? You have to make a complete gift of yourself. So giving yourself totally. You have to give it freely. You can't be compelled to love somebody. You have to, so free, total, faithful. You can't say, I love you when I'm with you, and not, but when I'm not, right? That's not faithful, right? It's not honoring, desiring the best for someone else. And then the last one is fruitful. Love is never selfish. It is never something that we give expecting something in return, right? That is selfish love. So there's so many counterfeits. You can look at relationships you've had yourselves. You can look at the way that other people express love to each other, and you may see some of these counterfeits. And the only place that we're actually going to be able to communicate love and form our children in authentic love is within our families, because they may not encounter Jesus, right? They may not encounter the scriptures, right? The Lord through the scriptures. They may only encounter love through your family. And the better you know how to love, the better you know the authentic love from Jesus, that's the only way you're going to be able to communicate it to your children. Got any more stories?
Not right
All
now.
right. So when I met my wife, right, I didn't know what love was. I didn't. I had examples of it, but I had examples from a lot of different areas, some that were extremely dysfunctional and self-centered. It was definitely of the mindset of, I love you for how you make me feel. It was. And when I met my wife, I was not a good boy. I actually had two young ladies that I was interested in, and my wife said, "Look, I'm not waiting around for you, right? You make your decision. Either you're gonna pursue me or you're gonna pursue her." And she made me choose. Now that took a lot of courage, right? For one, she challenged me, right? She challenged me to grow up, to love, to choose who I wanted to love, who I wanted to make a life with. And it actually didn't take me very long, because the other relationship that I had was not about authentic love. And I can only imagine that it was the grace of God that I chose my wife. But her love, I mean, her parents had read a book called Love Must Be Tough. You can look at the cross and see that that's not a bad title. Love Must Be Tough. The love that Jesus showed on the cross was tough. He loved the Father above all things. That's the first commandment. And he knew what the Father wanted him to do to glorify him and to love him perfectly. And he went about doing it no matter how painful it was. That's love. And so my wife said, basically, said, you must make a decision. And I chose love. I chose authentic love. I'd seen it in her, and in her, the way her parents handled situations, and I just knew that's, I guess that is was the benefit, the grace of having the sacraments and being challenged to love authentically. So I chose well, and it's shown over the years, right, that love doesn't always feel good.
So here's the challenge sometimes within our families. We can get so wrapped up in all the busyness that we're doing in our family that we are not paying attention to the messaging that we give our children. And it's always so important that children hear that we love them for who they are and not what they're doing and what they're doing for the family. So to just step back and make sure that we're loving authentically in an unconditional way, the way the Father loves us, even when we fail and we make mistakes, he's always loving us. And so sometimes what happens, if we're not spending enough time filling our cup with the Lord's love, then we don't have that love to give to our family. And so when things get difficult and challenging, that's actually the time it's like, oh, I need to stop, spend more time with the Lord so that I have more love to give. Because all the love we have that we're pouring out into our family is coming from the Lord. And so when we lack it, when we're impatient, when we, lose our temper, when we, all these things, when those things start happening, it's like a reminder. It's like a wake up call. Oh, okay. I need to stop. I need to redirect, reorient myself to the Lord so that he can correct that disheartenedness in our heart so he can heal any brokenness that's going on that's preventing us to, from loving authentically in an unconditional way. So that's just one tidbit that I like to give you. And I notice a direct correlation to when my children are behaving well, participating well in the family, everybody's getting along. It has to do with how much love they're feeling. And so when there's challenges with that relationship, then I'm like, I need to pour more love into my children. I need to spend more time with them. I need to make them feel loved. So.
Yeah, and so I guess at this point, let's go into some practical advice. I mean, that was really a beginning of practical advice that when your family is not doing well, go to the source of love, right? Embrace the Lord, read his word, find out how he showed love. Ask the Lord. I mean, the Lord will grant us whatever we ask in faith. And when we ask the Lord to make us better lovers, better able to love as he loves, he will grant that request. So practically speaking, right, we talked about it last time, and when we talked about family play and recreation, that it's not about the quality, but the quantity of time that we spend with our kids. That shows that we love them. The other thing is that your interactions can't always be about performance, right? You can't always talk to your children like, well, I need you to do this, this, and this, and expect that your kids are going to feel loved, right? They feel loved when you spend time with them. They feel loved when you take an interest in what they do. Now, one of the definitions of love, besides just having, looking at the cross and reading scripture, is that love is desiring the very best for another person. Right. And so you say, well, what is the very best for another person? Is that going to vary based on a situation? And it will. But in the end, it is desiring heaven. And so you can, and this has happened to us in talking to people, even maybe some of our own children, where they disagree with us on a moral teaching. And they are like, well, if you love me, you will not tell me that I can't do this thing that I want to do, right? Because this will make me happy, right? Happiness and joy and love, those are different things, right? So when someone is convinced that they want to do this immoral thing and that I need to support them in order to love them is actually blackmail, right? They're basically saying, look, if you love me, you will not tell me what I'm doing is wrong. Now, you can take that to a lot of different areas, and it's kind of beyond the scope of this call for us to talk about all the different areas where someone can say, I want to do this thing because that makes me feel good or that makes me happy. If it's immoral, it's immoral, right? And you know morality by the teachings of the Lord. And you can discover those teachings if you don't already know them by reading scripture, by reading the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which clearly lays out moral teachings that agree with love. The moral teaching, right? The Ten Commandments, they are 10 concrete things, the bare minimum of what you have to do to love as God loves. Moral teachings are not a shackle. They're not we're not being chained to keep us from enjoying life. We're actually being told, here are the guardrails. If you cross over these, you now are going to be unhappy because you're not loving as God loves. It's like driving a car. We have, for the first time ever, we have two different types of cars. We got a diesel car and we got a gasoline car. We got a lot of gasoline cars. And we have one diesel and a tractor that's a diesel. So I got to remember that if I put in regular gas into my diesel truck will stop functioning. It will just not work anymore. It will kill the car. There will be several thousand dollars worth of repairs that I have to do in order to make this car work again. It's like the lights. Every time the door opens and closes, the light turns off, so I can turn it back on. So if I put the wrong gas in, I may want to pay less. And because diesel's about $1 more per gallon than regular gas. And I can say, look, I want to put regular gas in my diesel truck. And I could do that. But I would really hope that my friend, that my wife, that my kids would say, Dad, I don't think you should do that. Don't put diesel in that truck, because if you do, you're gonna have bad things happen. That's love, right? In the spiritual world, when I tell one of my kids, you know, you believe this thing, but that's wrong. And today the consequences are serious. When you look at people that are thinking that they need to change genders, when they go down that path, they irreversibly change their bodies. Irreversibly. It's different than when those moral decisions were, I mean, even the area of sexual morality, you could say, well, if you do this, there's a lot of diseases out there that you can get because you behave in such a way. Those things didn't kill you typically. So when you say, I love you, it's because I want the very best for you. And the very best for you is eternity with God in heaven. It is not right here with what's in front of you. It's not this particular choice to do this act. Those are transient things. We need to keep our eyes on eternity. We need to be training for eternity. And the best way to train for eternity is to train for love and to communicate love efficiently, to form our families in love, to then guard the definition, teach it to our children, and then through the way we act, they will know we are Christians by our love.
And to the extent that you build a family of unconditional love, will thrust forward where kids, when they're out in the world and the world's beating them up, they always know that they can come back home and be filled up and be loved here. And they know that this is a place that I can go and find peace. And if it's not a place where they're going to come find peace, then you're going to have this destruction. And so to have them come back and say, yes, we remember, we love being part of our family. We love spending time together. It continues to fill up the children, not just when they're being raised, but even when they're older.
Yeah, and we've seen that. We've seen that in families that we've known, that when that consistent love and that care for the other person is felt, right? Felt by the other person, they know. Right? They will see the counterfeit for what it is. When they encounter unauthentic love, love that is not by God's definition, they get this empty feeling. They know that it's not true. They know somebody's using them. And God's love never uses. God's love brings perfect joy and unity with him. And that's what we're called to form our families in and to spread to the whole world. It's the easiest way that our families can evangelize and change the world. When we show authentic love, even if people hate us, because authentic love says, I'm not going to let you go out and play in the street. I'm going to do everything I can to stop you from going out into the street where you're going to get hit by a car, or putting the wrong gasoline in your car, or whatever, analogy you can make. I'm going to prevent you from doing something that will harm you. That's how much I love you. But we have to do it charitably. We have to do it with And charity is another name for love. So I just define love with love. But in perfect charity, we can't, yell at somebody and treat them poorly while we're telling them we love them, right? They see through that. And that's a temptation because when somebody else is fighting you, and maybe it's because of wounds they have or bad experience that they've had in life, somebody's treated them poorly and they don't trust you. You keep saying, "I know this hurts." Right? There's a song by Lion K says, "I know this is going to hurt, but if I don't do it, you will not achieve the goals I have for you." This is a song written by the Lord. It says, "I know this is going to hurt, but I love you so much, and we'll get through this together." We have to make great efforts to assure our children that we love them so much that we're willing to do anything for them. We're willing to sacrifice our own lives, our own wants and desires, so that they can be happy in this life and perfectly happy in the next life in heaven. All right. With that, let's close in prayer in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love you have for us, the perfect love that you showed to us through Jesus Christ, your Son. We ask that you transform us personally into other Christ, that we may love those that we come in contact with perfectly. Because, Lord, we know that we can do all things through you who give us strength, and that we love our spouses perfectly, that we love with a sacrificial love, a love that puts us second and our spouse first. And then, through that love of the spouses, we ask that we then form these beautiful children that you've given us, that they may learn to love as you love as well, through the example and the experience that they have within our own families. And this is a tall order, Lord, and we know that. But we ask that you give us the strength, the grace, and the courage to love, even if it hurts. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.